Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
This is something the Christians need to really be aware of, the many, many propaganda techniques that are utilized against us. And deflection is one of the most important.
Everywhere I went talking to people, every one of them said that if people in the West are not willing to die for their faith, then they're not going to withstand what's coming.
Saying the truth about your sin and yourself, that you're not righteous, that you're not good, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of God's mercy and grace, that's a biblical way of being authentic before God.
To say, "Thus says the Lord," is actually an act of humility, because it gives the glory and the deference to Him, to His word.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
The New York Times has a side game going called the 1619 Project. It has made some pretty amazing, kind of outlandish allegations about what they call the real history of our country. There was even a time when on their website you could see a logo that had 1776 crossed out and 1619 written in its place. What is the 1619 Project, and why are increasing numbers of scholars and scholarly institutions calling for the Pulitzer Prize that it was awarded, along with its founder, to be revoked? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, October the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about scholars calling for the revocation of the 1619 Project's Pulitzer Prize. Glenn Stanton will join us. We'll talk Catholics on the Supreme Court. Are there too many of them? Dr. Matthew Frank says no, and we're not necessarily seeing anti-Catholicism when it comes to Amy Coney Barrett's hearings and evaluation for the U.S. Supreme Court. Then Pastor Paul McCain joins us for hour two. Our series on the Lutheran Confessions continues. We'll talk about the three ecumenical creeds. Joining us to discuss scholars calling for the 1619 Project's Pulitzer Prize to be revoked, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled National Association of Scholars Calls for Revoking the 1619 Project Pulitzer Prize. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you.
What is the New York Times 1619 Project?
The 1619 Project is a series of articles that came out in the New York Times very prominently in late 2019 that basically endeavored to rewrite American history to say, as you said so well in your introduction, that 1776 is not our true founding on the ideas of freedom and democracy, but that 1619 is our true founding. And that is the date when 20-something African slaves came to our shore at Jamestown. And the thesis of the 1619 Project was, it was not high ideals that founded our country, but it was the desperate grasping onto and protection of slavery itself that founded it. And it's interesting, Todd, and we'll talk about this. I mean, almost immediately, Ivy League scholars, historians, were castigating this project for getting this radical history so very wrong.
So it sounds like the basic theory of America's origins of the 1619 Project is that the American founding in 1776 was nothing but the founders' justification for the continuation of slavery?
Yeah, they say that the central event was slavery. I mean, just absolutely remarkable. Yes, was slavery a part of our nation? Yes. But no, there were higher ideals. There were more noble ideals that were driving that. And to under the discipline of history and good academic history, which is exactly what the New York Times is claiming here, to do a revisionist history in such a radical way was just dramatic. And the reactions, the negative reactions from, like I said, Ivy League scholars from Princeton, from leading institutions, of how poorly they butchered that story, the New York Times butchered the story, was really quite remarkable.
Were historians and other scholars concerned about the claims of the 1619 Project from the beginning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting that there were about five scholars, one woman and four men, who were from Ivy League universities, one of them from Princeton, others from other places, one from Oxford, who were saying, absolutely no. No, slavery wasn't the primary driver. In fact, Todd, get this, that there was a woman that the New York Times used as a fact checker. She was a Northwestern University African-American slavery history professor. And she wrote in Politico just a couple of weeks after the appearance of this, she was hired or used by the New York Times as a fact checker for the project. And she said, no, you can't say that slavery was the central reason for the founding of our nation. Well, she wrote in Politico how they just dismissed my advice to them and said, no, you can't say this. And I linked to her article in my piece at The Federalist, which is really a stunning piece in and of itself. And again, this is a woman from Northwestern University. I mean, she is not a conservative. They went to her to do the fact checking. She fact checked them and said, hey, you can't say this. And they went ahead and said it anyway.
So how in the world, given the reaction of, and I think some journalists were also rather outraged by this, historians, journalists, and other scholars, how did the founder of the 1619 Project, Nicole Hannah-Jones, get the Pulitzer Prize?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. And she got the prize for introductory essay. I mean, in a way, makes it even worse, because the introductory essay was the one that really hyped it all up and really, you know, if you will, took that whole thesis up to 11. And how she got it, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that we can assume is that politics were involved in it, and the Pulitzer Prize folks, the board, wanted to send a very strong message that, you know what, we support this revisionist history. And it's interesting that even when those scholars sent an open letter to the New York Times, New York Times Magazine, complaining and vociferously denouncing this conclusion, the New York Times editor basically said, you know what, who's to really say what history is and isn't? I mean, just a horribly relativistic answer and dismissal of, these were not some fly-by-night historians, you know, having a political problem with what the New York Times did. These are the leading scholars saying, I don't know where you guys got this from, but you didn't get it from the historical record, because the historical record does not tell the story that you're trying to tell.
So why and how are scholars now calling for the Pulitzer Prize to be revoked?
Well, it's interesting because the story, Todd, gets even more interesting, that the National Association of Scholars, which is a good group of people, they're centered in New York City. I mean, they tend to be a little more conservative, but they are serious, well-respected, universally seen scholars, and they're calling for the revocation of Nicole Hannah-Jones's Pulitzer, not because necessarily because she got it wrong, but because how she reacted to it. As they say very clear in their call, in their letter, you know what, we're humans. We all make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with making an academic mistake and coming forward. But it's what she did in the aftermath of it. And basically what she and the New York Times did was just try to erase that statement of slavery being the central founding purpose of our nation happened in 1619. In fact, in a now deleted tweet, Nicole Hannah Jones says, "I never said that 1619 was the founding of our nation." You're like, seriously? Then what's the title of your project itself? And so that's why they're calling for the revocation of her Pulitzer, is not so much that she got it wrong, but what she did in the turmoil of that, she tried to pretend that she never said it, which is not prize-winning behavior for a serious journalist or academic.
Before we go to this break, are these concerns being expressed only by conservatives and conservative scholars?
You know what? It's interesting that it's not. I mean, actually, a very good journalist in The Atlantic had written a very interesting piece that this is very concerning. And I link a series of the best interviews is done by a socialist website of political socialists saying this thesis, this historical take is just remarkable. And I give the link to that website, the World Socialist website, and the interviews that they did with leading scholars, providing the leading scholars, Ivy League scholars, the opportunity to explain all the different ways why Nicole Hannah Jones was wrong.
Glenn Stanton is our guest. We're talking about scholars calling for the revocation of the 1619 Project Pulitzer Prize. When we come back, he mentioned it a moment ago, there was an attempt to kind of memory hole a lot of the claims there. How in particular was it done, and how did the scholars react? Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Congratulations to Jason in Illinois, this week's winner in our silent auction. Jason will be sending you a mic stand and headphones from the old Issues Etc. studios. Thanks to everybody who placed a bid this week. Proceeds benefit the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Next week's auction items are the guest and listener phone system from our old studio. You can bid early by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or giving us a call, 618-223-8385. We're talking about scholars calling for the revocation of the 1619 Project's Pulitzer Prize. Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family is our guest. So, Glenn, you had mentioned the attempt on the part of the New York Times and the 1619 Project and its founder, Hannah Jones, to rewrite the actual history of the 1619 Project after these criticisms started coming in. How did they do that?
Well, it was interesting. And the story was broken, first of all, at Quillette. Some good folks, you know, down under in Australia, a writer there talked about how, okay, the 1619 Project said that, yes, slavery is the central action and activity around the founding of our nation. And this writer in Quillette, and we document that very well at the Federalist, and I link to our Federalist article, he found out that, like, at a certain point, they just erased that. And when that came up and they were questioned, the New York Times and the author, Nicole Hannah Jones, they both stuck by their guns and said, well, yeah, no, we never said that. Well, again, what's the title of the project? It's the 1619 Project. And that is the thing, is they just, I mean, they literally tried to claim that what we said previously, we never said. And the bold-facedness of that is just absolutely stunning and remarkable. And again, that is why the National Association of Scholars is calling for the revocation of her Pulitzer Prize, Nicole Hannah Jones, because, again, they say very graciously, you know what, we all make mistakes. We can get something historically wrong. We can misspeak. We can get it wrong. But when it's pointed out by other scholars and colleagues to just dismiss them and say, no, we're right, and then try to deny that you ever said it, again, is not prize-winning behavior. And I think the scholars have an extremely good point here.
So this would be the equivalent of, say, a journalist writing a major story, making a factual error, and then instead of doing kind of standard journalistic practice, which is have the paper issue a correction, a public correction of that on the website, in print, and all of those things, in effect saying, well, I never wrote that, when everyone knows and there's documented evidence that they did write that.
And that's exactly what journalists do. That is exactly what academics do. They say they correct the record. And you know what? Nearly everybody respects that in a journalist and an academic. You know what? We're all human. And anybody who says, you know what, I got this wrong, we said it this way, actually the truth is the other way, everybody respects that. Everybody honors that. And I think people, for the most part, would have honored the author Nicole Hannah Jones and the New York Times for saying, hey, you know what, upon further reflection, yes, slavery was not the founding activity, the founding purpose of our nation, and we are going to adjust our story accordingly. But no, I mean, they doubled down and they just tried to delete it with no reference whatsoever that they had changed it and pretend like it never happened. I mean, it really is unbelievable and remarkable.
So is it fair to say that the New York Times continues to stand behind what has been written in the name of the 1619 Project?
Well, Todd, that's the interesting thing, because you're just not sure. The 1619 Project, I mean, you can go to the New York Times, you can type that in. All the series of articles are there. Kids are, I mean, and that's one of the most damaging things, that schools all over the nation are adopting the material of the 1619 Project to learn about American history in school. It's flooding our nation's public schools. But the question of, I mean, are they even admitting that they changed their story? No, they're not. They're just acting like it never happened, which is, it's just beyond belief.
Why should we be concerned about any kind of revisionist history, especially at this moment in our American life together?
Todd, that is such a big, big thing. I mean, you know, regardless of where you are with President Trump or anything like this, I was really struck this summer at the celebration of our nation's 4th of July that so many Americans were made to feel. If you feel any pride, if you feel any happiness or any celebration for the specialness of our nation, then not only are you not a good person, you are a rank bigot racist. I mean, that's where we are today. The fact that there were fireworks going off at Mount Rushmore, and that somehow is a pernicious thing, is just vile. And so I think we as citizens need to stand up against every turn. Now, was slavery a part of our founding? Yes, slavery is the original sin of our nation. Was it the founding? Was it the primary? Was it the motivating sin of our nation? Absolutely not. And as James McPherson from Princeton, in his complaint to the New York Times, he says, while slavery was a part of our story, so was the anti-slavery movement. There were people fighting against it as good Americans, and we as a system stood against slavery as well. So it's important for all of your listeners to recognize and fight against every effort to say that America is in itself fundamentally a bad nation, a bad group of people based on bad principles. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie, and it must be resisted. And I encourage anybody, look at the traffic of immigration. People from all over the world are coming here to seek safety, to seek opportunity, to seek freedom, because that is what our nation offers better than any other nation. And even though we have the curse of slavery in our history, which was not our founding, we still do have a great nation, which elevates people and motivates people and leads people to a better life than any other system out there in the world. And that is worth celebrating.
If the 1619 Project, as you mentioned, is finding its way into classrooms, and we're talking about elementary school classrooms, is it a symptom of a larger problem, not only in journalism, but also in our children's education?
Well, it is. I mean, it's indoctrination. It is just absolute indoctrination. And you know what, Todd? I mean, the children. But think about the teachers that are forced to have to teach this stuff, that know better. They're good teachers. They know their history. They know that this is just rank bunk. And I mean, even to call it revisionist history, it's just flat out lying history. But to think about our children being raised under the story that when you see the red, white, and blue flag, when you see the nation's founders, those are all inherent racist people, that we're trying to develop a system where people could own other people and make them work for them. Yes, that was a part of our system, but it wasn't an inherent part of our system. There were higher ideals. There was the ideal of freedom. There was the ideal of democracy. There was the idea of equality that we as a nation finally have realized because of our ideals, because of our ideals.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He is author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled National Association of Scholars Calls for Revoking the 1619 Project Pulitzer Prize. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Glenn, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Dr. Matthew Frank joins us on the other side of the break. He has written recently in the Wall Street Journal answering the question, is the Supreme Court too Catholic? He answers the question, no. Has it always leaned Catholic? No. We'll have his explanation right after this.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with Woe to Galilean Cities, Come to Me, Lord of the Sabbath, Man with a Withered Hand, and God's Chosen Servant. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York, a small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at ourredeemerlcms.org.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Independent and in the black for 12 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland; First Bethlehem Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois; Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa; Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California; Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawnee, Wisconsin; St. Paul Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska; Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.